distance tonight. We appreciate your presence. And thank you for having a spiritual mind, and we hope that we can be benefited tonight as we look at a very familiar passage and a very familiar topic. Begin reading with me in Luke, the 15th chapter, beginning in verse 11. While you're turning there, Jesus is responding to the scribes and the Pharisees condemning him for being with sinners in the first part of this chapter. He tells us about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. Thus the reason for this parable tonight here in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of my goods that fall to me.'" Well, he was one of the two sons. He was the youngest, as the scripture tells us. And so he would get one third of the inheritance. His older brother would get the other two thirds of that inheritance. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the son already had this planned. This wasn't a spur of the moment thing. He knew what he was going to do when he got the money. He knew where he was going to go. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country. Why a far country? Why not across the street? Or just out of the county? Was what he's going to be doing good things? Shake your head this way. Is he going to live to regret what he's planning to do? Shake your head this way. Yes. Yea, verily, some would say. He journeyed to a far country and there wasted his possessions with prodigal or wasteful living. But when he had spent all, how ironic is this? There arose a severe famine. You and I have not had to go through that. A severe famine. No jobs, no food, nothing. There arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed the swine. Was that the best job on the farm? You ever had to deal with swine? I've told you all, those of you who have been members here for some time, about my week in the hog lot. We were wiring the barn where the hog stayed after some big rains. So this is my recall of the hog lot. And this citizen of that country sent him to the lowest, dirtiest, filthiest job. Verse 16, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. You think he wasn't down? He had hit rock solid bottom. And sometimes when we decide to go away from the Lord, that's where we need to hit. And the landing is hard. Solomon said, the way of the transgressor is hard. Do you want to find out how hard? You just go ahead and do what your little heart desires. And you go where the devil wants you to go, and you do what the devil wants you to do, and you'll be exactly where this young man is. You think things can't get any worse. Oh, yes, they can. And they did for him. It got pretty bad when he was out of money. Then comes the severe famine. And he began to be in want, great want. No food, no place to go, no clothing. You can't buy clothing, and your clothing's not going to wear forever. And now look what he would love to eat. Used to be down at my grandmother and grandfather's farm in Kentucky. And we thought it was a real thrill to carry the slop out to the hogs. But you know what I never did do? I never said, boy, that sure looks good. But he did. He's going to be rooting with the hogs. That boy was hungry. He was in need, wasn't he? So we've entitled our lesson, Why Not Be a Prodigal? We're going to give you some reasons why not. If you didn't get some of it already from what we've read and what we've talked about, this prodigal was a boy that was extravagantly wasteful. He did have it all, didn't he? He sure did. And this applies not only to young people, and I'm so proud of you for sitting up here. Young people, it comes to people my age. There are people falling away from the Lord my age and older, committing all kinds of heinous and serious crimes and many immoral crimes against God. And they know better. But the devil convinces you, as we've talked about this week, that the pleasures of sin are greater rewards than that of heaven. I want you to look at some thoughts of the pre-prodigal. He was sick of home. Not homesick. He was sick of home. He couldn't wait to get away. There's a lot of young people that way today. And they do anything to get away from their home because of their mistreatment. But that wasn't this way with this boy. He was a very wealthy young man. His dad was a very wealthy farmer. He took for granted his position in life. He got sick and tired of some things. He lost concern of his father's love and care and concern and protection. He wanted to do his own thing. Heard that? I want to do my own thing. I want to find myself. Sick and tired of going to church. I'm going to make it on my own. And going to make his own decisions. You don't want anybody to tell him anything to do. You ever heard this before? You only go around once in life. Better live it with all the gusto you can. Don't wait till you get old and look back and say, man, I sure missed out on a lot of fun, a lot of pleasure. Let's learn from this lesson tonight, will you please? This young man wanted to be where there were no rules. I want to get away from home. I don't want to have to be told everything I have to do. Judy and I saw a young man in a bus station in Indianapolis a couple of decades ago. And young people, he had a white t-shirt on and he had a circle. And in that circle were rules and then there was a slash across it. What's that mean? No rules. He didn't want any rules. I whispered to Judy, I said, I wonder what he'd think if I snuck up behind him with a baseball bat and started wailing the daylights out of him. Hey, you can't do that. Well, I said, what's your shirt say? You don't want any rules? All of a sudden, now you want rules? I want to hit you with this bat, and now you say, no, I want rules? Make up your mind. See that? Some of these automobiles run around here and on the windshield or the rear window say, no fear. I can put the fear into you. Yes, sir. You ever heard this? I'd do it just this once. We talked about it on the Lord's Day. Just this one. Do you know why? Because the pastures are greener over that fence than where you are right now. Try that pasture on sometime. When you get there, you're going to wish you back across that fence. Just this once. Every addict has said that. I'll try it just this once. Or everybody's doing it. And you know what that means? I got a friend or two that's doing it. Mom, Dad, everybody's doing it. No, they're not. or nobody will get hurt. Sometimes we can't see past our nose. Not think about mom and dad, family, friends, the local congregation, about what we're doing. Nobody will get hurt. Yes, they will. And you won't believe how many and how much they will hurt. You will be the cause. Again, we repeat Psalm 51 and verse 3. What's that say? Remember from the last 2 days? My sin is what? Ever before me. Young people, when you get my age, I want you to look back and I want you to say, I didn't do that. I didn't go there. I'm not sorry for the good things that I've done. I want you to be able to rejoice in your old age. That's why the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Don't look back with a misspent youth and wish you had a do-over. You can't get one. And all the tears you may cry, all the sleepless nights will not get peace back in your heart. I won't get caught. See what the next line says there? Jails are full of people who said, I'm smarter than these other guys. They got caught, but they're not as smart as I am. Really? You will. Be sure your sin will find you out, Numbers 32:23. The grinding wheel sometimes comes around slowly. We watch this forensic files, and sometimes it's 20 or 30 years after a murder or a crime has been committed, and two or three guys come to the door, and they got their badges and their guns on and their beautiful blue uniforms, and the people have cameras on them as they come to the door. As soon as they open the door, they know why they're there. I won't get caught. Or nowadays, it's my body, it's my life. But they don't consider the consequences, do they? And the devil's not going to warn you. He's going to tell you of the here and now pleasures. Remember again what we said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's all our life is. I used to be young like you young people. Really, I once was a teenager, believe it or not. I wasn't born old. I know the tricks, I know the weapons of the devil. Been there, done that, been through it. And through the providence of God, met the most beautiful woman in my life, not only outwardly, but inwardly. Thanks be to God for that. Be careful. Little hands, what you do. Little feet, where you go. Little eyes, what you see. And on we go. Who's going to find out? Do you really want to know? Do you really want to know? You will see who will find out. And you may wonder, I wonder if they know. You know what you ought to say? Yeah, they do. Yeah, they know. They know. Yes, sir, they sure do. Or nobody's going to tell me. Nobody's going to tell you what? Well, 1 John 2, verse 15 begins, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You love the world, you're not going to have people telling you things to do. No, sir, you don't want that. You don't want that. And I think I forgot to put the green light on here. Can you hear me? Okay. Nobody's going to tell me how to dress. Yes, they are. Yes, they are telling you how to dress. Well, no preacher's going to tell me how. There you go. Yeah. My parents are not going to tell me how to dress. We went to church with a beautiful young lady in Peoria, Illinois, teenager. As far as we knew, faithful, remember? But we had a little talk a few years later, and she said, I did some things I was ashamed of. She said, I'd go to school, leave home, and my skirts were down past my knee. Said, when I got to school, went to the bathroom, rolled them up. What for? Everybody else's were. See, nobody's going to tell me how to dress. Well, they were, weren't they? Weren't they? Weren't they? And we could spend a whole night on that. Or, nobody can tell me what to watch. Mom and Dad aren't home. I'll watch what I good and well please. We said Sunday, you see it with your eyes. You put it into your heart. You can't unforget. You can't undo it. You can't delete it out of your mind. Nobody's going to tell me. I don't want any rules. Nobody's going to tell me where I can go. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 1. My son, he said, walk not thou in the way with them. The father was telling the son, and these first few chapters are just that. A father looking his son eyeball to eyeball and telling him, warning him. Because that son could no longer say after that, well, nobody told me. But that dad can say, son, you remember when I talked to you over and over and over and I told you the consequences of a misspent youth and life? You chose not to listen. Because nobody was going to tell you how to dress, what I can watch, where I can go, or what I can do. You want that kind of life? You want to sear your conscience with a hot iron? Did you ever see a cow being branded? What grows where that brand is? That's right, Zach, nothing. Looks like the top of my head. Nothing grows there. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Have your conscience seared as with a hot iron. You become blinded, as we'll talk about in a minute. Nobody's going to tell me. That young son of that father that we read about there in Luke chapter 15, he had his mind made up. He was determined. I'm going to do what I very well want to do. Well, why not be a prodigal? Many don't want to come back. Some die in a far country. Well, why come home? I've got it made here. Or if you spend all of your money and you end up in a severe famine and in a hog lot, oh, I can't go back home. I'm a failure. I'm a loser. I crawl back to Dad. That ain't going to happen. Some die spiritually in a far country. Some are accidentally killed. Yeah. Yeah, they are. A few years ago, a preacher friend of ours was telling us about his 18-year-old son who was killed in a motorcycle accident, not a member of the church, not a faithful member. I wish you could have heard him tell that story. Don't want to bury your child. Young people, your parents don't want to bury you because of some sin you committed, because nobody was going to tell you. Nobody. Some die by violence, some by disease. Get with the wrong crowd. I had a cousin, maybe about 20 years old, in a bar on a Saturday night, and somebody stuck an 8-inch blade in his stomach. And he died. He didn't plan on doing that, did he? But he was away from the Lord. He knew better. But nobody was going to tell him. Nobody. Some die by suicide because what hope is there? There's no, where can I go? I've lost everything. And so they choose the way out. And look where they land. You talk about jumping from the frying pan into the fire? Exactly what they did. Sin takes you what? Farther than you wanted to go and keeps you longer than you wanted to stay. You put your foot in there and it'll put a chain around that foot and it will drag you back. It won't be just this once, will it? Because the pleasures of sin have a draw and a pull. They are magnetic. And you become addicted not only to drugs but to pleasure. And if I can burn that into your hearts from front of this building to the back of this building and say, no, sir, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be have those consequences in my life. Galatians 6 and verse 7, they began with, be not deceived. Ah, don't listen to that long-winded, loudmouth preacher like Brian Price. Don't listen to people like that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You can't look down your nose at God and say, well, I know what you said, but I won't get caught. I won't be like everybody else. Okay. You were warned. You were warned. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that, underline that word, that shall you also reap. Whatever you sow, it's true in the garden, isn't it? Whatever you sow, that's exactly what you're going to reap. Why not be a prodigal? Some don't come to themselves, do they? Some just don't want to. Not like this young man who eventually did. But Satan blinds, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, or should I better say, God says, your adversary, the devil, will blind you. He will blind you to the rewards of eternal life and get you to look away from that unto a temporary, fleeting, momentary pleasure of life. You may do it for popularity's sake, whatever it might be. But I won't die then. I can give you multiple incidents of where people did die in the midst of their sin. Some do not come to themselves because of the pleasures of sin that we've talked about. If I told you sin was not didn't have pleasure, you say, you go sit down. You don't know what you're talking about. Sin has its pleasure. God tells us so. And that's how the devil can blind us, blind our hearts. I know what the Bible says. I know what mom and dad says. But right now, I don't care. Well, you will. You will. Because sin deceives. Sin deceives us. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, it very well does deceive, doesn't it? It deceives us. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Sin deceives. Again, we mentioned 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Burn this into your heart. Pun intended. Your conscience can be seared as with that hot iron. I want you to hear that again because it will sear you to what you know. I know I shouldn't. I've done some things. I remember with my five of my teenage cousins in a car one night coming home from Harrodsburg, Kentucky. I don't think Judy even knows this. Whew. Five of my other cousins were in another car. We were on a death trap road. I knew better than to do what I was doing, but we had a new 61 Oldsmobile that would fly. And I'm not proud of it, because I could have killed us all. You know how I know that? Because I have three cousins in that cemetery where all my relatives are buried. Teenage boys did that very thing, and they did not survive. When they died, do you think I didn't remember that? I could have been there. And here, almost 60 years later, my sin is ever before me. Whew. Pride. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16, 18. Underline it. Highlight it. You can tell when your pride kicks in. Somebody tells, man, I tell you what I did. And you can say, well, I can one-up you on that. Oh, yeah? Well, you think you're... That's your pride kicking in. Pride goeth before destruction. You know, the Lord will rip your pride. He sure will. The Lord has a way to humble you. I've told the members of the church here this probably a dozen times, but it won't hurt you to hear it again. We were preaching in Salem, Ohio, in a little red brick building. And Brother Hafley thought he just about knew everything. He was 30 years old. Anything about the passages, you know, you just ask me the question, and I'll answer it. After Bible class, a little girl came, maybe 10, 11 years old. Said, I was still coming down from the little pulpit there. She said, Brother Hafley, we had a question in Bible class. Could you answer this for me? About the time I thought I knew, she humbled me right then and there. That's been 30 years ago. I can't remember that little girl's name, but I sure remember being humbled. Did I need that? Shake your head this way. Yes, sir. The Lord will find a way to rip your britches. You get too big for your britches? Yes, sir. It will happen. Be careful. Moses made the right choices, didn't he? What are we doing? How are we doing? Why not be a prodigal? Some want to return but are not able. How's that? Become alcoholics. You've never been addicted. I hope. And I hope you never, ever to drugs, to cigarettes, alcohol. All people, friends I've worked with and palled around with, I can quit anytime I want to. He said, I quit three times last week. Yeah. Used to go visiting people in the hospital with another member of the church, and he always, after we visited, always had to hit the little boy's room. One time I went in a couple of minutes after he went in, and there he was. Couldn't live without a cigarette. Now he can hardly breathe. He gets to carry that little pack of oxygen around with him everywhere. Just telling you. Some become alcoholics, hooked on drugs. Galatians 5 and verse 20. The King James Version says, witchcraft is one of those sins you need to avoid. It's where we get our word pharmacy. Drugs, they had them back then too. Think you can't get hooked on drugs? Somebody try to get you to shoot them up or smoke this or drink this? Again, just this once. Or you could be involved in crime. We talked about Joshua 7, verse 21, Achan. He saw, he coveted, he took, and he hid. And he got caught, didn't he? And he and all of his were put to death. He sure was. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 begins with those three words again. Be not deceived. That ought to be like warning, warning. I used to have a paper route when I was a little bitty boy. And when I saw beware of dog sign on the gate, they got their paper thrown over that fence. I'm not testing my luck. When that said beware of dog, I don't care if it was a chihuahua, I wasn't going in. That dog was a Saint Bernard, and he made a believer just sitting there on the porch. He didn't have to move. Be not deceived. Evil companions. Evil companions. They will make fun of you. Oh, come on, just go with us. I told you I used to work at Caterpillar Tractor. Friday nights were the nights. Come on. Come on, we're going down to the bar, and we'll get you some hot chocolate. You don't have to drink. We'll get you some warm milk or something. Come on. Not going to happen. Addicted to immorality. Yes, sir, you can be. Pornography, whatever. It's there. Solomon and his 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's 999 too many, wasn't it? Yes, you can. Or an unscriptural marriage. Did you know I found, you know what I found? People who are not members of the church understand after they read what the Bible says about marriage that they're not supposed to be married. Well, Mr. Hafley, these three passages show that we shouldn't be married. Who told you that? The Word of God. Don't do it. You be sure. You be sure. And you make sure you love the person you marry, that you slip a ring on their left hand. You make sure you love them to death, till death as well. Why not be a prodigal? Because all fathers won't forgive. Many have begged their fathers, please let me come back. No, sir, not after what you have done to your mother and to me, to your brothers, to your grandmother, to your grandfather, and you come crawling back to me, don't you even think about it. How'd you like to get that? After you run out of money, after you've been eating the food the hogs would eat, and you don't have shoes, you don't have clothing, you don't have a place to live, and you go back praying, Many have lost their entire family. You ought to talk to somebody who has, and let them tell you the pleasures they are now enjoying. I know a man, he lives in a third-story apartment that he calls his storage unit. He said, when I leave, there's nobody saying, I'll see you after when you get back, honey. Or when I come back, did you have a good day? There's no hot meal on the table. Boy, that list goes on and on. He said, you just leave for no reason to get out of there. You want that? What do they say on the quiz shows? Tell him what he's won, Johnny. You live and you die with the choices you make. Lose your children? They don't want to talk to you anymore. Look what you did to Mom. Your grandchildren, Want to be a grandfather, grandmother? Mm-mm. Hank Williams wrote a song. I think this is the title. My son calls another man daddy. Whew. Not a pretty sight. Even though they return, they still must live with the scars and the memories. Have trouble forgiving himself. And that's one of the weapons of the devil. Did you know that? He will wear you out. You remember what you did? And here you're trying to act like you're going to go to heaven. Don't you remember what you did? What did David say? Psalm 51, verse 3, my sin is what? Got it? Friends and neighbors may not forgive. You know, everybody's not forgiving, are they? He's made his bed, let him lie in it. Parents won't want their child dating or marrying a prodigal. Yeah, look at what he did before. He'd do it again. Not with my daughter. There ain't no way. Must live with the paranoia. What's going on up here? Do they know what I've done? What'd we say about that? Wouldn't you rather what you have done be good things? Make something out of your life? Boys and girls, don't you want that? The consequences of doing what is right, being honest, hardworking, loving and gentle and kind, and helping of others. Do they know what I've done? Yeah. And when you do good things, do they know what you've done? I'm so proud of a lot of these young people here and others that have come through here. And I hear and see on Facebook and other media ways of what they're doing now, going to school, studying hard, working hard, living good moral lives, wanting to go to heaven. All of us, are we still wanting to go to heaven? Has that passed? Must live with the pain and the hurt they've caused so many. You see the pain. You see the heartbreak. Look what I've done. And some parents have been put into the ground because of the actions of their children. I know that's so. Just broke their hearts. There it is again. Do I want you to remember that? Underline that passage. David remembered it every day of his life. Read 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. It's there. Save yourself from all the consequences. If not, do not say, don't you dare. Nobody told me. Yes, they did. You just didn't listen. Will you come to yourself and not just, sorry you got caught, you see criminals? What do they do? What do? They come out of the jail and their hands are cuffed together and they got these chains around their feet and they try to cover their faces. They're sorry. Yeah, sorry they got caught. Don't you be that way. But have a godly sorrow. Are you going to sin? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. But have a godly sorrow. That's why Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 said, blessed are they that mourn. Mourn over my sin. For they shall be comforted because you'll do what's right and you won't want to do it again. Acts 3 verse 19, Peter told the Jews there to repent and turn. There's more than in salvation, than just repentance. There is a turning. And we talked about that last night. Will you come to yourself? Will you come to the Lord? This beautiful passage. Song's been written about it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You talk about peace, the peace that Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 that passeth all understanding. Young people, you can have it when your friends don't. When they've done things and they wonder how you can be so happy, so friendly, so vivacious, so kind, because their mind's wondering about what they've done and the effect they've had on others and their lives. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, I call it the dog and the hog passage. The dog that was returns to his own vomit. You ever seen that? Oh, I don't want to talk about that. Well, it's in the Bible. Hopefully you've already eaten supper. But I've told you before, I can take you to the spot on my uncle's farm, right outside their front gate, where their little dog gave me by 8x10 glossy picture of that. I was just a little boy. And that's been almost 70 years. And then the hog that was washed, the sow that was washed, or her wallowing in the mire. There's more to that description too. Not very pretty. Just look at the Father that loves you and has warned you. Let's read this passage on the next chart. When that young man returned home after the loss of all of his money, all of his inheritance, after the severe famine, after wanting to eat the hog's food, he comes to himself. And he arose and came to his father. He already had a speech planned to tell his father. I want you to picture this. You picture that poor boy as he's returning home from a far country. He's had to make a long journey. It was a short journey on the way away from home. But imagine the long journey on the way back. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him. That could be you. God knows everything you've said, everything you've done, and when you return to him, it's like you're his only child. Did you know that? And he knows what's going on in your heart. While he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Not sympathy, he had compassion. Sympathy says, oh, that's like the priest and the Levite who passed by on the other side. Oh, that's too bad, poor baby. But the good Samaritan and the good God has compassion. Had compassion, and the father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And literally, he kissed him again and again and again and again. Picture that. I know you can. And the son, can you imagine the son being able to get those words out with his father clinging to him, loving him. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father interrupted him. He had more to say. You can read that earlier in the passage. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. You know why? Because he didn't have proper clothes. He was one poor soul. Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. He didn't have shoes. Bring out the best. You know that father could have turned him away, couldn't he? He said, well, or okay, you can come back, but you're indeed going to have to be like one of my servants. I'm not going to let you just come crawling back in here. He could have. But God is not that way, is he? You think of all the sins you've piled up in your life. You want to name them? You want to write them down? Me neither. But when I repent, truly repent, he'll do this. Bring out the best robe and sandals. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Can we be merry tonight? When one soul repents, like he said two or three times in this passage already, earlier in this chapter. Can we be Mary tonight to see one sinner repent or one soul obey the gospel in baptism? Because you've heard, you've believed, you've repented of your past sins, and you'll be willing before this audience to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can do that tonight. The Lord knows what's in your heart. Yea, verily, He sure does. He knows what is in mine. And He knows how much time we have left on this earth. And He's long-suffering, Peter said toward us, not willing that any should perish. And that includes you. So as we close our lesson tonight, burn it into your heart to know there's consequences to sin and there's consequences to righteousness. Let your reward be that of righteousness, which would be eternal life. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Let that be the answer and the response. And your life a glory, a glorification of God the Father. By being obedient and responding to His will, even right now, while we stand, Zach, and while we sing.